growing influence from conservatives and religious groups in parts of the tech industry could be on the way to erode the rights of women in the United States. And the question is, could it ever really happen here? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and today we are going to discuss the Heritage Foundation. More on that in a minute. But they've published a sweeping roadmap for rolling back really a century of progress in women's rights. It's called Saving America by Saving the Family, a foundation for the next 250 years. At the centre of it really is looking at women's role within society. It means sort of shaping a system where women are steered towards marriage and having children, this very conservative look at the typical family. The other piece of this is tech, and companies start feeding conservative politics into their AI, into their hiring and access to jobs, access to information. It can go way beyond politics. So we're asking, is the system here being reshaped before our eyes? And from an Irish perspective, it is hard not to hear echoes of our own past, where women's lives were shaped by this really narrow idea of family and society. So how gradual can these shifts be? How subtle are the changes when they begin? And will we see them here in Ireland again? To discuss this, I'm joined by Margaret E. Ward, who's a leadership consultant and a contributor to the Irish Times. Margaret, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
And you've written this pretty intense opinion piece for the Irish Times. And the basic argument within it is that the US is heading towards something like Ireland's past, where women had fewer rights, had less independence, were really pushed into these really traditional roles. It's a really big claim, Margaret.
Well, I moved to Ireland 31 years ago to actually research Irish women's history from the foundation of the state. I was actually investigating my grandmother's own story. So my mother, father, grandparents, everybody was born in Ireland. I grew up in the United States, and then I moved back here to research this. And I was actually shocked, even though I'd heard from my mother and grandmother aunts how limited their lives were in terms of the choices that were available to them. You know, the only choice was really getting married and having babies. You weren't allowed to work, usually in the civil service, teacher, whatever. You weren't allowed to work once you had children.
There was the marriage ban.
There was the marriage ban. But also things like, I mean, my grandmother used to tell me things like women weren't allowed to rear certain kinds of farm animals because they were too delicate. You know, like you could only little pigs or hens, and the men had to. You, so the whole world of Ireland at that time from the 1920s onwards was really about control, right? It wasn't just control of women, but it was control of men as well. So they were very limited in their ability to work, to have, you know, an opinion in society, to do lots of things. So over time, thankfully, a lot of that has moved away. But once I started mapping it, like for doing this piece, it was really stark. So we know that church and state solutions for women in Ireland included mother and baby homes from 1922 to 1998. Rape was legally allowed in marriage until 1990. Men were allowed to sell the family home out from under the family, which almost happened to my grandmother twice. And that was in available until 1976. The marriage bar until 1973. No birth control until 1980. No divorce until 1995. And then, of course, we didn't have abortion until 2019. Okay, that's a lot of restrictions on women's lives. So thankfully, we've progressed. Women can get an education. Women can work. Women can have families. Women have choices in Ireland now that my mothers and aunts and grandmothers and your mothers and aunts and grandmothers didn't have. But in the United States, over the last number of years, it's gone the other way.
Do you think Ireland has fully moved on from that women in the home mindset?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't. You're starting to hear things like people claiming that women have it all, that the gender pay gap isn't real. There's a lot of pushback happening in Irish conservative circles in terms of, you know, women would be so much better off just giving up their jobs and going back into the home. Like, if that's what a woman chooses, that's absolutely fine. But what I'm talking about is a situation where there's no choice or where you're shamed into that choice. So I think that Ireland has progressed. But when we look at, say, women in public life in Ireland, journalists, politicians, any woman who has a voice, businesswomen, they are constantly attacked online. viciously attacked for being a woman who is in the public with an opinion. It seems to be reprehensible to a lot of people. We see the rise of technological control of women through Meta glasses, right? Women are being filmed and that's put up online. Grok, we know what happened with Grok, these undressing videos. So this technology is being weaponized in Ireland and everywhere. Also,
and it's all very reductive.
It's all very reductive. So it's women as objects. So women as sexual objects or women as baby makers. We also look at how children in Ireland are being conditioned to believe that women and girls are less than. So the messages that boys as young as eight are getting through social media algorithms, through lots of other things, that tells them that women, again, are objects. They're less than. They're to be used and abused and thrown away. So, yeah, we still have a big problem in Ireland. Is it as bad as the United States? No, it's not. But this is the point of the opinion piece in the Irish Times. It's that we have to be vigilant. So look at the last 18 months, what's happened in the United States. Did anybody expect it to happen that quickly? I mean, they've just sleepwalked their way in. And most people in the States don't know this is going on.
Well, okay, let's look to the United States, right, and look to the Heritage Foundation, which you write about in your article, which is this conservative think tank behind, really, Project 2025, which is a wish list of conservative policies thought to have real influence on Donald Trump.
Yes. So if we go back, so when did this all start, right? Why did this start? All of this started during the civil rights movement in the United States. What happened was billionaires and millionaires were very annoyed that women, people of color and gay people were claiming that they had more rights than they did. Okay, this was disruptive to business models. They couldn't make as much money because they couldn't exploit people as much by paying them less or having poor work conditions. There's a great book called Dark Money by Jane Marr that I suggest everybody reads or even read a synopsis of, how that money was then used to roll back civil rights for people, for those, you know, minorities, because white men needed to be back on top. They absolutely believe that they are number one in terms of the power structure, so anything that gets in their way has to be gotten rid of. So they started funding conservative candidates, judges.
Who's they?
They, these wealthy American billionaires. So the Koch brothers, K-O-C-H, they're number one. More recently, we have the tech bros who have joined in with them. Peter Thiel, Palantir is a big one, but there are so many names, it's actually frightening. And again, what is this about? It's about control. It's not about saving the family. This is about controlling women and putting them back into their box or their cage so that they become subservient to men.
Okay, and we'll discuss that in a bit more detail in a moment and perhaps challenge a bit of that. Have they any presence here in Ireland, the Heritage Foundation?
Who knows? I mean, a lot of the funding, Mary Fitzgerald, who used to be an Irish Times journalist, who runs Transparency something or other, I think, in Europe, has written a lot about dark money funding. So a lot of dark money funding comes through Catholic or Christian organizations that are focusing on wedge issue, what we call wedge issues, like abortion. Okay, so sometimes people might not even know where that money is coming from, but they're lobbying on a certain issue that is an attempt to take a woman's right away. So are they here? I don't know. But Steve Bannon has said he wants an Irish Trump. So something's going on.
Now, I know they have held meetings in Europe, haven't they? They held one in Rome last year under this banner, Make Europe Great Again. Obviously, a play on Make America Great Again. So they are trying to be active across the continent. And I did see this pretty interesting piece of reporting. It's on Politico, if you get a chance to check it out. And they said there was meetings from heritage representatives, private meetings with lawmakers in Brussels from countries with far-right parties from Hungary and Czechia and Spain and France and Germany. And then the last 12 months, they've held 7 meetings in the last 5 years. Prior to that, there was just one meeting. Okay, so that would suggest that they're trying to have a presence here. I'm just trying to get a sense if they've actually had any real physical impact here.
Well, let's look at, you know, the far right or the parties here, right? So we have had a few of those contest elections and not do very well, thankfully. We have others who have fallen apart. You know, their leadership couldn't agree. So we are seeing more far right influence here. Like, I think it was really interesting was looking at the protests, okay? So I don't know. A lot of the protests, I was like, that's not the way Irish people protest, or that's not those aren't phrases that Irish people tend to use. You know, it feels like a lot of this stuff is being imported. So whether they're being taught techniques or they're just being whipped up on social media to believe certain things, it's really hard to tell. But there are people who track this kind of behavior, and they are saying Ireland is being targeted.
Let's go back then to heritage in the United States. Tell me the problems that they feel that they have identified, that they feel need addressing, and what are their policies? What policies do they advocate that they suggest they need to implement to ensure these goals are achieved?
Okay, so this is called Saving America by Saving the American Family, a foundation for the next 250 years. So they believe that the reason for social collapse in the United States is because the family has collapsed. Okay, so this is the ultra-conservative think tank, and they wrote Project 2025, which is the blueprint for the Trump administration, which has pretty much been implemented at least by half. So it's 168 pages, and they're saying we need to reverse population decline by putting marriage and family at the center of American public policy, right? That sounds fine. Families are great. Families are really good for human development, for society. What's wrong with that? But then when you start to read it and you pick apart what they're saying there's an emergency of low fertility rates. That's always a big warning sign. When somebody says there's emergency, what does that do to people's brains? You get really panicky. You start worrying. You're much easier to manipulate. So this emergency of low fertility rates, which is something they also share with white supremacists and the manosphere. So they want to limit women and girls' choices to address that emergency. So rather than saying, look, we are having a problem with low fertility rates, what can we do policy-wise and structurally that might help women feel safer having more babies, right? I mean, I think most couples would go better flexibility at work, more childcare, men and women sharing parenthood, right, more equally and sharing things around the house more equally.
Because lots of countries are trying to address falling fertility rates, and there's lots of governments across the world. In Singapore, they're offering baby bonuses. In South Korea, companies are actually literally paying people thousands of dollars to have children. I mean, this is an actual issue that is being addressed and discussed elsewhere.
It is an issue, right? But this research shows that just paying people to have babies doesn't work. It's structural. You have to have better paid leave, better childcare, better supports at work, better social supports. So what we know is economically true in terms of helping people have more babies is not what the Heritage Foundation is saying.
So what rights specifically are they looking to limit, Margaret?
So they're saying that this is women's fault. The reason for low fertility rates is women's fault because basically they're not compliant enough. They have too many opportunities. So what they want to do is limit women's ability to work, limit their educational opportunities, and make sure they get married young and have lots of babies. That is no joke. That is actually what they're talking about.
Look, they have had successes when it comes to issues like immigration, climate change, perhaps, abortion. What makes you think they'd have success here?
It's a compelling argument when you think about it, right? So think, we're all stressed out of our minds, right? So if you're a parent, you're both working, you're trying to organize childcare, money is tight, it's hard to pay the bills. It's really attractive to think, oh, wow, wouldn't it be great if one of us could actually stay home and pay the bills somehow and mind the kids? I mean, everybody wants to be with their kids, right? So they're making this trad wife thing of a woman at home being minded by her husband as something that is real and achievable. For some couples it is, but the reality is in current society it's not. Both people have to work. We don't have the care of grandparents or whatever. It's this impossible dream that they're selling to us that's not economically or socially or culturally viable.
But there will be people listening to this and say, well, actually, I agree with the idea that we put a society in place and a structure in place that does allow women out there who are working full-time or part-time outside of the home, trying to be a mother as well, feeling absolutely torn. They love the idea of, allow me to go back and look after my children and raise them and be comfortable financially for a couple of years. It's a good thing.
I love it too. I absolutely love it too. But is that realistic? I mean, how much money? So they're not saying we're going to give women more money, right? That's not what they're saying. They're saying we are going to remove women's opportunities for education, to work, to be financially dependent, right, to have their own lives, and we're just going to push them back into the home. So they're not saying we're going to, set up social support systems that will pay you to stay at home for your child with your child for the first 3 years. They're not saying we're going to have after school care for children so that it makes it easier for you to work part-time or to mind your elderly parents. They're not saying that. They're not proposing these things that are proven to help. You know, I mean, if we could all afford for one parent to work and just one parent, more of us would be at home. We would have more children, right? If men were given the same opportunities to help raise their children, and I think there are a lot of men who would like that opportunity, we would have healthier families, happier society, happier people. Nobody is proposing that, unfortunately, Kira.
Just to go back, though, to the point I made, right? This is a big wish list of policies. Where is the evidence that is actually going to cut through to be something that Trump gets behind so that you are going to be looking at America in 5 or 10 years and women don't have the same choices that they have now, that women are restricted in the universities that they go to, restricted in the jobs that they can take up, that really you have no choice but to stay back in the house with your children?
Okay, well, here's a really good example. So this week in the United States, there was an act going through that would have restricted women's voting rights.
Is your driver's license about to be useless for voting? I want to talk about the Save America Act and why everyone is so stressed about it. So basically, this bill wants to end self-attestation, which is a fancy way of saying you can't just check a box anymore to tell me you're a citizen. You have to actually show the receipts to prove you're one. But if you have a U.S. passport, fine. You're golden. But if not, and I'm talking to the, 146 million citizens who don't have that, you got to have a certified birth certificate or adoption papers. And here's the catch. Remember those regular real IDs everyone told you to get, or obviously a driver's license? Usually those are not going to be enough on their own either. But it actually gets even messier when you're talking about someone who's changed their name. Because if your ID says one thing and then your birth certificate says another, hello, married life for many people, you need a marriage license or a court order to explain the discrepancy and try to connect those dots. Now, you've got two sides of the issue. Supporters say this is a common sense way to keep the voter rolls clean. You got critics saying this is red tape on steroids and that it will block millions of people like students and low-income voters who don't have these docs just sitting around in a drawer or the money just suddenly get them. And did I mention, by the way, this wouldn't just be for new voters. It could apply also to currently registered voters who are citizens, who's had their status questioned. Yeah, to stay on the rolls, you got to actually get receipts as well. So the big question is this a necessary security upgrade or a convenient headache for the 2026 midterms?
69 million married American women would have lost their right to vote had this thing passed. Women who were married, so it was called a voter registration act, but it was a voter suppression act. So this is just another thing they're trying to do, is they're trying to take away women's rights.
But it didn't pass.
It did not pass. Okay, but Trump threatened and he said, if you don't pass this, I will not even look at any other legislation. Okay. That was just because the Democrats actually stood up and did something about it. But if you look at the policies now for admission to American universities, like who do they favor? If you look at what AI algorithms are doing for job seekers, right? We know AI algorithms have been proven to be biased against women and people of color. So if you're applying for a job, that algorithm is not likely to choose a woman or a person of color. White men go to the top of that algorithm, okay? So the technology is being used. Legislation is being used. We know as well that abortion rights in the United States are hugely limited. So when a woman becomes pregnant, by choice or not, her choices then become limited because she has to mind a little person whether she has the money or not. Right.
Yeah, and we know for a fact that isn't a hypothetical. After Dobbs versus Jackson and the Women's World Health Organization decision, those abortion laws have been tightened in parts of the United States. So that's already happened. That's a fact.
That's a fact that's already happened. And not only that, but there's a bounty for women who may miscarriage. In some of these states, you can be paid money to report a woman who you believe has sought abortion information or had a miscarriage.
You say, right, that this is all happening under the radar, the people aren't aware of this. How are they not aware of this?
I talk to.
I mean, if we're discussing it here in the News Talk Daily HQ in Dublin.
Well, okay, so I talk to Americans all the time who are friends of mine, who I worked with, I went to college with. The last year and a half, they've all been contacting me. They're from all different backgrounds and from all over the United States. And I ask them these questions. Their media is not covering this. I'm even talking mainstream media, like stuff about that Voter Suppression Act. So many people are not aware of it. It's terrifying. Like, people are not getting the information. We have stuff that we send them. There are groups of us who we send them information. And I know academics who say to their students, you have to read, say, The Guardian, or you have to read The Irish Times, or you have to read outside of the United States, because more of the stuff is being reported outside the United States than in.
Your big fear, I would imagine, right, is that this isn't just a wish list, that this isn't just an ideology, that this is actually going to be embraced. Has Donald Trump suggested that that's his line of thinking?
A lot of people around him have. So if we look at the comments of a lot of his advisors, I think a few of them have said they do not believe in women's right to vote. So Peter Thiel, for example, who is the founder of Palantir Technologies, has said that democracy and freedom are not compatible, right? A lot of these people do not believe in democracy. They do not believe in voting rights. They do not believe in civil rights or human rights, because all these things are constraints on them, right? Their business models are about exploitation and extraction.
I just want to go back to something you said at the beginning of this conversation, was that, you know, the MAGA movement in the past has tried to galvanize the European right. Steve Bannon unsuccessfully did try to unite all of these populist nationalist parties under the movement think tank back in 2019. He was completely hamstrung, Margaret, because there was a lack of buy-in. You know, it was frustrated here in Europe. I'm just wondering, are we kind of over-exaggerating the threat here?
No, I really think we're not. So if you look at what's happened, we had little, you know, far-right movements in the United States that were all brought together, actually, about abortion was what we call the wedge issue. And then they all came together, conservatives. They then brought in the Catholics. Actually, Catholics were the big ones who led to that in the States. Then the Tea Party joined them, right? So over time, nobody could unite them until Trump came along, right? So Trump, we know the MAGA movement is very powerful, but he also got conservatives on his side, Christian nationalists, by promising them things like women's rights will be rolled back. But the tech bro oligarchs, these guys have also bought into it. And they're thinking of it from that point of view of, well, this gets in the way. Anything that gets in the way of me doing what I want and making money is bad. So it's incredible. You know, I call it the unholy trinity, that now this threat is not only here and real, it's being technology is making it move much faster. All of these things are made to move much faster. Conservatives, a traditional conservative in the United States, just had conservative views, okay? And that's fine, have your conservative views. But to then actively take away people's rights and control, that's what is happening with this movement.
Margaret E. Ward, thank you so much for joining me here on News Talk Daily. Do drop me an email with your thoughts on this, newstalkdaily@newstalk.com, or find me on Instagram @officialKeeverD. Until tomorrow morning, goodbye.